We welcome you to another edition of Being Well Informed. My name is Claudia Barber, and I am the host of this podcast, where it is an educational podcast, and we feature wonderful guests. We feature many celebrities, sports players, politicians, and the like. And today is no exception. We are so happy to bring back to you on this fine afternoon, Pastor Troy Barnett. Welcome back to Being Well Informed.
Thank you, Judge Barber, for allowing me to be a part of your show. I really appreciate you reaching out, and thank God for all that you're doing, not just on your job, but just in the community. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yes, we are excited about what you are doing too in the community, because your church, the Refuge Way of the Cross Church, which is my home church where I was born and raised, is in the heart of the community. It is in Baltimore, Maryland, and it has existed for decades in the city. First on Lawrence Street, then at 1442 North Carey Street, and then now at the corners of Old York Road and East 43rd Street. So welcome back to our podcast. I have to say that first. And you have a lot to celebrate in your life. You have been a professional football player for the New England Patriots and the Washington Redskins. And now you are bishop and pastor of the Refuge Way of the Cross Church in Baltimore. So what has life taught you in all those wonderful events that have happened?
Perseverance. Okay. Perseverance, I would say, and accountability are two hallmarks of things that I've has been instilled in me over the years, whether it was through education from my mother, who was a very staunch advocate of education, as well as sports with the coaches that I've had in the past, who really pushed the need for, you know, being accountable, perseverance, preparation, you know, time management, prioritizing, all those things that you don't really think about as a kid really become a part of who you are. And you, when you look back on the successes you had, you'll be able to pinpoint even the different events and activities that you were part of that makes us who we are. And I know your family is a big, big advocate of education. and as you can see, you and your sister have just excelled in every area. Based on how you were, you know, what was sown into you as toddlers and as kids.
Yes. So it's, you know, life has challenges with it too. And persevering through those challenges is something we learn, I think.
Yes. Yes. And it is, and the only way you learn it is by going through it. There is there is no easy way. There is no easy button to press. You just have to persevere.
So what has changed since you were last on our program? And what has changed since the last event that you had at the Reginald Lewis Museum in Baltimore?
Well, since then, as many know, we've lost our founder not too long after we were able to celebrate part one of his event. You know, his health went downhill, and we lost him and in about 2 weeks before his 101st birthday, we funeralized him. And so life has changed completely now. You know, it's one thing to have such a influential individual that you could speak to on a regular basis to now really trying to carry on that legacy. And really just remembering the things that he's lived by, the words that he's sown into you, to me, the things that he's expecting for the ministry to do and to perform, even after he's has passed on, there's still a promise that still needs to be fulfilled. And so that is our goal, is to continue that and to really bring that promise into fruition.
You have mentioned the Reginald Lewis Museum presentation last year. You know, actually, we're coming up on, I guess, the first anniversary of his death next month.
Yes. A year has gone by, and it's gone by so fast. We were already working on part two of his legacy, 100 years, journey of a lifetime. And so we're preparing to show part two at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum on June 1st, from 2 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m.
So we have to get that date circled on our calendar. Save the date, June 1st, June 1st, June 1st, 2024 at the Reginald Lewis Museum at 2 p.m.
Yes.
And what are we going to see in this presentation that's different from the last presentation?
We saw part one, and we have started filming part two. So what we're going to do is we're going to show part one and part two.
Oh, marvelous. Good, because that's wonderful. I'm ready.
Yes, we're going to show part one and we're going to show part two. So we'll get the full picture of his life growing up and his homegoing services and some of his last words that he spoke to us. Because the last time he really addressed the body was at part one, when he gave his words. So we have that captured and some other things, and it really brings everything together. Of course, I would much rather have him here with us. The one thing when we started out this project all 3 years ago is that I wanted people to understand the man. I wanted them to understand Apostle Ewers Kennedy, the man. We spent a lot of time and we put a lot of confidence in our spiritual leaders without really understanding that they're human, without understanding that they have lives, they have hurts, they have pains, they have trials and tribulations like everybody else. And sometimes we're so busy to unload on them that we don't even really realize that,
They're human.
they're human. Exactly. And so I wanted to capture that part of him. And I think ELM, Early Light Media, did an excellent job on part one. They did an excellent job on part two. And I really believe it captured the essence of who he is and who he was. And we have all the film, all the B-roll film. So we'll be making little snippets here and there of him as we continue to move forward to try to complete the building. But we will have a room, museum, one area that will have his teachings, will have his words, will have his Bible classes, his sermons, videos, everything that you can think of, because he was such a unique individual, as you well know. We've had the pleasure of sitting at his table and talking with him and fellowshipping with him. And so we want to bring that type of engagement to the world to let them know, he was here and his influence still continues to be with us.
So tickets will soon be available for this event, correct?
Yes. Within the next week, we'll be posting that on our website at refugewtcc.net. We're going to show part one and part two, and we're going to have a small reception that we can come and fellowship with one another. We'll also have his timeline that we had at part one. We had his timeline listed on the boards where people could take pictures of that. So I'm very excited about that. The ticket's only going to be $25. We really wanted to make this very accessible to everyone because we really want many people as possible to be there. And we're just really just trying to cover some very few things, but most of it, the church has come together and we want to do this for the community. We want to do this for his family. We want to do this for the people of Baltimore to really understand what a treasure we have in had in Apostle Ewers Kennedy. And in between part one and part two, one of the things that he really loved and really supported was a Theodore Barber Scholarship Program. And so
Yes.
we'll be hearing from you and your sister about that in between the two segments to really push that, because that is we're still a very big supporter of that. And we thank God for all the thousands of dollars that you all have given away in scholarships to help kids go to schools to continue their education. I mean, that legacy continues to live on and we want to continue to support that. So we've got a lot. It's going to be a short program, but we have a lot of impactful things happening. So if you're available, we definitely want to encourage you to do
Yes,
that.
absolutely. We'll be there and share more about the more than $100,000 in scholarship awards we've awarded over the years. And Apostle Leroy Kennedy was the founder of the Scholarship Foundation after my father's death in 2001, 2000. And we started the foundation in 2001. And we've just continued to build from that. But we've also left lost some other inspiring leaders, such as the loss of the church accountant and the chief financial officer.
Deacon Wendell. Wendell. It was a very painful year for Refuge and the body in Baltimore, because not only did we lose Deacon Wendell, we lost Bishop Melvin Easley, his Bishop Kennedy's grandson. So, I mean, all this in a year, in last year. So
all that,
we're all recovering, trying to find a way to continue to move forward with the loss of three very influential individuals, not just in their own churches, but I'm talking about to the body of Christ and to the city of Baltimore. So it's a daunting task to try to continue on and to press on, but that's what they would want from us. And so that's what we're going to do.
So what inspired you to do part two of the legacy of Apostle Leroy Kennedy?
I just thought that, you know, capturing and introducing that first part of who he was, his background, where he grew up. And he talked about some very serious things that he went through as a child that many people probably wouldn't know unless you really talk with him. And he persevered and survived. And then
that included Jim Crowism.
Yes. Yeah. He's talking about an individual that came up through the Great Depression, who came up through all types of racial injustice. And he tells a story of, you know, the individual African-American who was drugged behind a truck in Franklin, North Carolina, through the middle of the city and died. You know, this is things that he lived through, but he still had a love for everybody. You know, he went through so much. So I really wanted to capture that. So taking him to his hometown and really just giving him a chance to talk and to watch him, to walk the grounds that he walked as a kid, as a little, as a young fella, and see how he grew up. And then to kind of, you know, bring it to a place where, you know, we watched him all the way through. So, you know, part two will continue with some of that, but then also kind of bring it to a close from a life perspective. But obviously with his life, it's only physical, because, you know, he's spiritually, he's going to continue to live on with so much that he's left and so many people lives that he's impacted, that you can't go into Refuge without thinking about him or remembering him. And he's it's just a huge part of all of our lives.
Well, you know, I remember very well the wake. First of all, his body was at Refuge Way of the Cross, and then we had to move to a larger facility. So the wake was largely at the Church of the Redeemed. Mm-hmm. And then there was a national service, and I was there for every minute of the national service. I didn't want to miss it. It was roughly around 6 hours or so. But, I have such a strong connection with Apostle Leroy H. Kennedy. And know very well his works in the city of Baltimore and the locations and the people he touched, their lives. Because we've had large choirs, youth choir, we had a young adult choir, we had the Refuge choir, and so many members through those the choir ministries and usher ministries and ministerial staff and it just continues. So in terms of the future of the church, what are your thoughts there?
Well, I'm excited just because, you know, Apostle Kennedy left a wonderful and a solid foundation to build upon. He left some wonderful people who are supporters of the body of Christ, are supporters of him. They're supporters of me. They're supporters of Refuge. And we understand, you know, all that we need to do and the things that are left to be finished when it comes to the community. We have a full plan together when it comes to different things that we want to really engage the community in. We just don't want to be a church in the community. We want to be a church of the community. And so there are certain things that we're lining up and looking to do to really effect change in our community and to be a valued asset to those that are surrounding our community. So you're going to hear a lot more about that over the next year or so. We're looking to be a church that's open 7 days a week. We're looking to you know, have programming things going throughout the day. We really want to get back to the church really being a center part of the community and being a place where people could go and always have someone to talk to or to listen to them, or it'd be truly what the name of our side of our building is, a place of refuge where they could go and just, you know, just be there and feel safe being there. So there's a lot of things that we have plans to do, and a lot of things that we've discussed with Apostle Kennedy that, you know, he was excited about. And so we're going to continue to try to bring those things into completion.
So there was this, the start of the building of an expanded church edifice. How is that coming?
It's still coming. You know, we had some slowdowns throughout the winter, you know, with COVID and the things that when we started, you're dealing with changing in pricing and changing a lot of infrastructures. And so we're still looking to complete that and finish that. And we're constantly working on with different individuals to help us get that done. There's so many people's lives that he's touched that really want to help and be a part of that. And so our desire is to, you know, hopefully get that done this year as soon as possible, because there's so much we really want to do going forward, and we'll need the space to do that. And so that is the biggest part of why we're endeavoring upon this. And this is one of the things that he wanted. This is, you know, something that he started and, you know, something that God gave him a vision for. And so he picked out everything. So he picked out the colors, he picked out what he wanted, you know, what he wanted it to look like. And I tried to persuade him. We were going through design. I said, you know, if you get chairs, if you put chairs in there, then you'll be able to do this. You can move this, you can do that. And he'd be like, oh yeah, I still like pews. So he let me go through that whole, my whole spiel. And he said, I still like pews. So it's going to be pews. It's going to be exactly the way he wanted it, with the functions and the functionality that he desired and the openness for the community. And so we're just going to continue to press towards that.
So we mentioned briefly in our conversation the loss of Deacon Wendell Miller. Some people are irreplaceable, are they not?
Yes. And you really realize how irreplaceable they are when they're gone, because that tribal knowledge, the way they did business, the support that you had with them, the conversations that you had about, you know, what should we do, and his expertise and knowledge around finance and church finance was crucial. But one of the things that he did is that he cross-trained some people to be able to pick up in case something happened to him, that we'd be able to continue. He was a big proponent of making sure everybody kind of knew, you know, the different things that were happening. We had some rough times of getting some things in order that he was working on, but he left us a good playbook, and we had some people step up and step in to get us over the hump. And I think we're getting to that place where, you know, that foundation that he helped us build from a financial infrastructure perspective is standing on itself now.
So you can imagine, I mean, I've known Deacon Wendell Miller since I was probably a child. Their family came back in, I think, the 1960s when the church was at Carey Street. And when I learned of the loss of Deacon Wendell Miller, I was in shock. I was like, it can't be. You can't lose your church accountant. You just can't. He's irreplaceable. That's, you know, I just didn't have words. I just didn't have words at all. I said, no way.
Yes. Right.
There's a hole there.
Huge hole. And the only thing that, you know, in working with him, you know, when I became the pastor and just understanding his philosophy and the fact that, you know, I'd gotten my MBA from R.A. Smith School of Business, I was able to talk shop with him. So I understood where he was trying to tell me and what he wanted me to do and how he structured things and how he, from a business perspective of what he wanted to see and why he does what he did, And, you know, so it was obviously we'd much rather have him in the seat handling those things, because there's that trust factor. There's some things I never had to worry about.
Right.
And now, you know, as a pastor, as well as working a full-time job and now being responsible for, you know, the financial infrastructure and making sure things continue to move smoothly, it becomes an added weight. But the fact is, you know, it could have been much worse if he wasn't who he was. and he didn't lead and guide us the way he did, things could have been really different. But I thank God for him, and I miss him every day.
Well, yes, I understand. I understand. So how do we heal and accept changes when we suffer such huge losses?
We have to trust in the Lord. We got to trust in the fact that what he does well. What God does, he doesn't make mistakes. He's not surprised by the things that happen. Only we are. And so, you know, it's through trials and tribulations that we really learn to depend upon him. And sometimes those trials and tribulations come at inopportune times or according to our schedule. But to God's schedule, they're right on time. And so
right on time.
We just have to continue to be encouraged by the fact that these individuals were saved. They were baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. They love God. They love the ministry. They love their families. And they're on to a better reward. I was talking to a pastor a couple of days ago, and he was talking about Apostle Kennedy. I was talking to Bishop Otto Richardson, and he was talking about how these leaders who have gone on, they're in a much better place than we are right now because of stuff that we're dealing with in the community, what we're dealing with on the national level, the worldwide level, the political level, the entertainment industry. It's things that seem to be in so much chaos. And so it's more imperative at this moment, this junction in history, that the church really steps up and be that beacon of hope and beacon of light despite what's happening around us. And so there's so much work to do. And we're living out the scripture where it says the fields are white, but the laborers are few. And so we're living that out right now. And so we're trusting God, and we got to continue to trust him. Let him be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, and just follow him. And, you know, he says a lamp unto our feet, your immediate steps, a light to your path, your future directions, you know, where you're trying to go in the end. He's going to guide us all the way.
Well, based on what you've shared with us, it sounds like you've really also provided us with insight on having and the importance of having a succession plan and the importance of, you know, even especially when it comes to the person that's at the center of finances in terms of, you know, making sure the bills are paid, making sure that, you know, because you have money counters at the, you know, to take an offering on Sunday, but the money has to get to the bank and so on and so forth. And it's just really important to have key people in that role and backups.
Yeah. And with the losses we had that were so back to back, Judge Barber, that was one of the things I implemented in my own house personally, you know, meeting with my daughters every year. We go through the numbers. Here's where all the insurance policies are. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what you handle the money side. You work with mommy. You handle this because, you know, my daughters are awesome, but, you know, they have different temperaments and different mentalities, you know. So I signed one to handle the business side. I handle one to work with mommy on the, you know, the closeout of services and things like that. But, you know, because you never know, because though, like you said, those deaths came so quickly and so back to back, you're just like, you know, looking over your own shoulder, do I have my stuff in order? And so,
everybody so has to have that conversation.
No,
they can't delay anymore. It's so important.
It is.
So, what next? And if you could share more details again about the tickets and this upcoming documentary on Saturday, June 1.
Yeah, so Saturday, June 1st, from 2 to 6 p.m., we'll do part one and part two. If you want to participate and be a part of that, just to be there, you know, all you got to do is you can send $25 to our Cash App, $WOTCC. Again, that's $WOTCC, and you'll be able to, you know, book your spot. $25 per ticket. We'll have your name at the door, and then we'll come in and we'll fellowship. We'll also, you know, like I said, but before the end of this week, we'll have the flyers and things up on our website. Our website is refugewotcc.net. So you'll be able to find all information about that. You know, our contact information is on our website. You can always call the church. You know, we'll give you more information about that. But we're looking to really have a wonderful time in fellowship and remembering, because again, like you said, we'll be coming up on a little over a year when we get to June 1st, then which we've lost him. So I kind of closing out with part one and part two, was going to be a great tribute. So we would love to have as many people there as possible.
Yes, I'm looking forward to being there, and I'm really excited. I am so excited that you're doing this again so that we can again and see the continuing legacy of the late Apostle Leroy H. Kennedy. Thank you, Pastor Barnett, for stopping by today and being a part of our podcast.
Thank you, Judge Barbara, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you on June 1st, if not sooner.
Yes, indeed.
God bless.
God bless you.